Hebrews chapter 9, and I want to read verse number 27. Hebrews chapter 9, and verse number 27. Would that you stand with us one more time as we read the Word of God here this morning. Hebrews chapter 9, and verse number 27. Excuse me. Hebrews chapter 9, and verse number 27. The Bible says, as it is, not gonna be, not will be, not should be, or shall be, but as it is, present tense, appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again, Lord, for another opportunity. Lord, another privilege to kneel and to bow and worthy heads before you this side of eternity. Father, we thank you for the Word of God and for the privilege, Lord, to deliver the Word of God to the people here. I pray, Lord, that, Father, you'd touch our lips and loosen our tongue. Lord, give us the liberty and, Lord, the power that we need today. Lord, give us a filling of the Holy Spirit of God, Lord, that we might be able to publicly expound, Lord, your word today. And Father, I pray, O God, Lord, that, Father, you'd touch the heart of every listener today. Father, may every ear and every heart, Lord, be receptive to the word of God. I pray, O God, Lord, your blessing upon this service today. And Lord, if there be one that's not saved, I pray that the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God, Lord, would convict that individual and, Lord, bring them to an altar of repentance today. If there be one, Lord, that's drifted away, just not in the place of God they need to be, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God, Lord, would convict their heart tonight. And I pray, O God, Lord, you'd feel that need. Lord, I pray if there be any fruit that's ripe, ask, dear Lord, that you'd pick it today. I ask that you'd speak, Lord, thy servant's hearing. For it's in Jesus' name we do try to pray and ask it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Some years ago, I guess it's been probably 15 years ago now, somewhere of that nature, I preached the message along this line one Sunday morning. And there were five people, Brother Unger, got saved that morning. However, one of them, there was two men and three women got saved that morning. And one man had been a member of that church for many years, was a song leader. He got saved that morning. One woman was the wife of a deacon, got saved that morning. One woman was the wife of a deacon, Brother Unger, that had been put aside for to be a deacon. Two others, a man and a woman, had been members of that church for many years, but they got saved that morning. Now, I don't want you to think that I'm picking on you today, but I feel like preaching on what God laid upon my heart today, and I said all that to say this. I hope everybody in this church building is saved. I hope that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. But there is, Brother Unger, a possibility that somebody could be deceived. I preach funerals and people, and listen, when I preach a funeral, I just preach. I don't meet the mouth around, I just preach. And I've heard people at the graveyard, I could hear them whispering, a little whispering camp, but he preached to us like we was all lost. Well, that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to preach to them like they're all. You know, I've been to a lot of funerals, Brother Unger, and a lot of people that never darkened the door of a church. And listen, I just want to preach when I go. But Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting verse number 1 through 5, Paul said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom of words, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in meekness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but within the Holy, but within demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God. My goal today, as I go throughout this country preaching the Word of God, is to be a soul winner for God. Paul said there in Romans chapter 1, and starting in verse number 15, Paul said, "For I am now ready to preach the gospel to them that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel." Ain't but one gospel. That may not be good English, but it makes good preaching anyway. Ain't but one gospel. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." But he said there in verse number 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Brother Unger, there's a lot of people in this world today who packs the name of a Christian, who says they've been saved, who says they've been born again, but they only have that truth in their hands. What are you saying? I'm saying folk that they hold the truth, but they don't have the truth inside. That truth has never found a lodging place down on the inside. And I said all that to say this today, as we read Hebrews 9:27, "As it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment." We've got an appointment with that old man called death. Now, that old man called death don't always have to be an enemy. Brother Unger, that old man called death sometimes can be some of the sweetest and some of the best and one of the sweetest and one of the best friends that you and I will ever experience this side of heaven. Death don't have to be something that's morbid. Death don't have to be something that you have to wish that it never would come. Death can be something that's very enjoyable, and it will be to the life and the ending life of a child of God. But the writer said, "As it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment." 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10. Paul said, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the deeds done in our body, whether they be good or bad." For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Every one of us are going to die unless the Lord comes back first. We're going to leave this world by death. But Paul said that after that we die, there's the judgment. And there in 1 Corinthians 5:10, he said, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the deeds done in their body, whether they be according to that he hath done, whether they be good or bad." We must all appear. Romans 14:10 through 12, he said, "For we all shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Brother Unger, we've got an appointment with death, every one of us. And after that, we've got an appointment that we're going to appear at the judgment seat of Christ. And not only are we going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, but we're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. "So then everyone shall give an account." Verse number 12. He said, "So then everyone shall give an account to himself, to God." You're going to give an account. I'm going to give an account. Every one of us are going to give an account to ourselves, to God. We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You say, "Preacher, I'm saved," and you say, and I hope, as I said in my opening statement, I hope that everybody in this church building is saved. I hope that everybody in here has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And if you are, praise God. I'm glad for that. But you know, and I know, and we all know people who have never been saved. We all know people who may have gone through all the rituals of doing this, that, and the other, and doing what man has said. But as Paul said there in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 1, Paul said, my heart's desire for Israel that they all might be saved, but I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they going about to establish their own righteousness, and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. There's a lot of people, Brother Unger, who have done it their way. You know, Elvis did it his way. And some of the others that recorded that song, they did it their way. But I'm afraid that there's a lot of people who are in hell today who did it their way instead of doing it God's way. I said they did it their way instead of doing it God's way. But I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you a question today. When you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, the Bible said not everyone that, excuse me, Matthew 25 and verse 21, he said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, enter ye in unto the joys of the Lord. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. And then in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, he said, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Now that's a big difference there. There was one group, Brother Unger, he said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter ye into the joys of the Lord. There was another group that he said, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. There's some that God said, come on in. And there's some God said, we're not going to make it. I ask you today, and here's my question. My question is this. Can you give me a valid Bible reason why Almighty God, why Jesus Christ, the darling Son of God, should say to you as you stand before Him after that you have died and after that you have made your way to that judgment seat of Christ, and as you stand there, can you give me one good reason why He should say, well done, thy good and faithful servant? Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make you, or thou hast been faithful over a few things. Enter ye into the joy of the Lord. I won't serve notice on you this morning that there's a lot of people who are in church this morning. There's a lot of people that are in church this morning who are expecting to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and have the darling Son of God say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Enter ye into the joy of the Lord. But I'm afraid that many of them have never come to the place to where that they've ever really repented of their sin and by faith reached out and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And I'm afraid that when they stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that the darling Son of God will say, depart from ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. He's going to say there, I never knew you. So sad, Brother Unger, to know. Maybe you know someone who's not, and there's no maybe to it. I know that you know someone that's never been saved. I know that you know someone that's never come to the place to where that they have repented of their sins and by faith reached out and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Romans chapter 5, starting in verse number 1. Paul said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad, Brother Unger, that I've got that deep set of peace. I'm glad that I've got that said that peace that Paul said passes all understanding. I don't understand how God could love me so much that He allowed the best thing that He had, the darling Son of God, His only begotten Son, to go to the cross of Calvary to suffer and bleed and die for my sin and your sin, as sorry and low down as I've been in my life. Brother Unger, I don't understand it, but yet He loved me enough that He gave His Son to suffer and bleed and die and shed His precious life's blood. No, knowing what kind of sorry individual I was going to be. But He loved me that much, and He loved you that much. But He said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access unto this faith, under the grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I'm glad that I've got hope. You hear what I said? I said, I'm glad that I've got hope. A lot of people think they got hope, but they don't really have that hope that I've got. I hope you've got hope. I said, I hope that you've got hope. But there in Romans chapter 4 and verse number 24, Paul's talking about Jesus, said, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. He was delivered for my offense, Brother Unger. He was delivered for my offense, and He arose again for my justification. But in the between the being delivered, being arrested yonder in the Garden of Gethsemane, and being raised again, He went through an awful scourge and an awful crucifixion, there to bow that lovely head and say, it's finished. And when He bowed that lovely head and said, it's finished, in essence what He's saying, and put that in old-fashioned Tennessee language, and I guess Arkansas language too, or California, wherever y'all want to call home, where He used to be. Tennessee's your home now. But listen, there's a lot of people, and I forgot what I was going to say, but there's a lot of people, maybe I'll remember it, but there's a lot of people that you know and I know who have never come to the place to where that they have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord. Maybe you've got children. Maybe you've got grandchildren. Maybe you've got a brother, a sister, or a mother, a daddy, or some close loved one or ones that you just don't know whether they've ever been saved, whether they've ever been born again. First John chapter 5, starting in verse number 5. John said, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, for the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, that's God's Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He, that's God, if we confess our sins, He is faithful. You know, Brother Unger, I'm glad that I'm serving a faithful God. I'm glad that I'm serving a faithful God. But if we confess our sins, then He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then He went on to say, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. And then in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 1, He said, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins. And not for our sin only, but for the sin of the whole world. He's the propitiation. He's the covering. He's the satisfier for our sin. And not only for our sin, but for the sins, but for the sins of the whole world. Listen, He's the propitiation. He's the appeaser. He's the satisfier. You know, there are times, Brother Unger, that I'm displeasing to God. And Sister Unger, there are more times than I care to admit that in my Christian life that I've been displeasing to God. But I'm glad that I've got an advocate. You know what that word advocate means? It means a top lawyer. I'm not talking about a little attorney down here that writes up wills and does little old penny ante stuff. Man, listen, when you go to court of law and you stand before a judge, you better not get some little slip-lip lawyer. You better retain you and an advocate that knows what he's talking about. You know, when if you have to go to a court of law down here in man's law, in man's world, in the world that we live in today, and you stand and you try to stand before that judge and you don't have somebody representing you, man, they'll chew you up and spit you out. Because that other group knows how to talk to that judge. That other judge knows the language that judge knows. And folk, listen, I'm glad that I have an advocate. I'm glad that I have that top lawyer. I'm glad that you know, when you stand in a court of law and you have retained yourself an attorney, an advocate, if you please, and you stand there before that judge or you don't stand there before that judge, you sit over there and you keep your mouth shut, and you let your advocate stand in the place where you cannot stand, and your advocate speaks to the judge that speaks in a language that you don't understand, and he says things that you don't understand, and Brother Unger, he knows how to talk to that judge. I'm glad that whenever I'm displeasing to God, I'm glad that whenever I've not been what I ought to be, I'm glad that whenever I've not been what I should be, I'm glad that whenever God's mad at me, if you please, I'm glad that whenever I have not the right relationship with God that I ought to have, I'm glad that I have that advocate that stands before Almighty God in the throne room of God, and He stands where I cannot stand, and He says what I cannot say, and He answers the question that I cannot answer because I'm not there. I'm glad that I have that advocate today. Aren't you? Aren't you glad that you have someone that stands in the throne room of God and pleads your case constantly before God? Aren't you glad that whenever the devil brings up railing accusation against you and begins to tell what you did and what you didn't do and what you should have done, I'm glad. Aren't you glad that you have an advocate that stands up and says, hey, but yet he's my son and she's my daughter, and I died for her and I died for him and I shed my blood for him, and my blood has been applied to their soul, and they're my son and they're my daughter, and they're my brother and they're my sister, and they're your son and they're your daughter, and yet they're in their family, and God, listen, I'm their advocate and I'm pleading their case. I don't know about you, but that helps me. Titus chapter 3. verses 4 through 7. Apostle Paul said, but after that the kindness and love of God toward man appeared. But after the kindness and love of God toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy as he saved us. Brother Unger, I'm glad for God's mercy. I'm glad for God's grace. He said, but after that the kindness and love of God toward man appeared. I'm serving a kind God. I'm serving a loving God. I'm serving a God that loved me so much that 2,000 years ago, he made a way for me to go to heaven. Brother Unger, if I got what I deserved right now, I said, if I got what I deserved right now, I'd be in hell right now with my back broke, crying out to an almighty God that would never, never, ever save me throughout all eternity. What are you saying? I'm saying that the Bible says, as it is appointed unto man once to die, wants to die, and after this, the judgment. God told Adam and Eve yonder in the Garden of Eden, he said, you can eat of any tree that you want to in this garden, but if you do not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he said, the day that you eat of that fruit, ye shall surely die. Now, Adam and Eve didn't die. But the death process started. Do you hear what I said? I said Adam and Eve didn't die, but the death process started. Brother Unger, when you and I were born into this world, we didn't die, but the death process started. I don't know how old Adam was when he sinned in the Garden of Eden. The Bible doesn't say. Really doesn't matter. If it mattered, it would have said. But it does say that Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, and the death process started. But I do know that in Genesis chapter 5, that 930 years from the time Adam was created in the Garden of Eden, 930 years later, the Bible says, and he died. And he died. I can't go through all of them this morning, but the Bible said that Methuselah lived 969 years. The Bible said that Noah lived 930 years. It does not say, and he died. But it goes on a little further and talks about the flood, and you know the rest of the story. All these people, they were born. They lived so many years, Brother Unger. And then the Bible said, and he died. We're all going to die. Brother Unger, I hope you live 30 more years. You probably don't hope it, but that's neither here nor there. I remember my brother. Lost my brother about, I lost him in 1999. This is soon be 30, soon be gone 13 years. But I remember my brother had open heart surgery like you did, Brother Unger, and then he had some complications and he went back in the hospital and he went out. He was at home and they couldn't get any pulse beat. They couldn't get any, as far as they knew, he was dead. They got him on the way to the hospital. They finally got him roused up and got him to come to, and he was dead for so many minutes, they said, and then they got him back to the hospital. And my brother, you've heard these stories about people going to heaven and all these stories, but my brother said he experienced that. And whether he did or not, I don't know. But here's what he said. He said, I was standing at the gate of heaven. And he said, I was fixing to go to heaven. And said, God spoke to me and said, I can't let you come in. Said, there's too many people praying for you. He came to, and he came to himself, and he called me, and he said, Louis, of course, my name's Louis, and a lot of people call me Louis. He said, Louis, I want y'all to quit praying for me. He said, I almost went to heaven, said, you praying for me, and he wouldn't let me go. Said, y'all, too many people praying for me. He called everybody and said, quit praying. I want to go to heaven. It's probably been a time or two in the last month or 6 weeks, Brother Unger, you probably thought the same thing. Quit praying for me. I want to go to heaven. Quit praying for me. I want to go to heaven. How much time we got back there? 32? Well, I've done gone over just a little bit. But let me say this. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Amen. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should. It's by the grace of God. It's by the grace of God. Proverbs 14:12 and 16:26, somewhere along in there. Twice he says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof. There's only one way. Jesus said in St. John 6:44, for I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a Baptist by choice, but I'm a Christian by the grace of God. But being a Baptist, I was saved before I was a Baptist. I was on my way to heaven before I ever joined the Baptist church. I was saved before I was ever dunked under that water. I was born again because of what Jesus did at Calvary. Because I repented of my sin and by faith I reached out and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 3, Paul said, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, how that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. While every head's bowed and every eye closed just for a minute, while we stand, and while the song leader comes or the piano player comes or while the folk come, whatever they want to do. If you're here today and you've never been saved, now's a good time to get saved. And if everybody in this building are saved, is saved, whatever's correct English, it don't really matter. If everybody is saved, then surely there's someone that's close to you, that's close to death, that's close to hell, There's someone that you know that needs Jesus as their Savior. And maybe you'd like to come and kneel at this altar and lay those people's names on this altar today and bear them up before God, that somehow Almighty God would get the gospel, the death and the burial and the resurrection to them. That they would give their life to Jesus and be saved before it's everlasting and eternally too late. Father, I pray, O God, Lord, that you'd feel the need today. Speak to the heart of the listener today. And I pray, Father, your will be done. And Lord, I pray that you burden these people's hearts to come and kneel if they're saved. And Lord, that they'd leave these people on this altar today and bear them up before Almighty God. Lord, that they'd be saved before it's everlasting and eternally too late. In Jesus' name. Amen.